It's Thursday, June 27th. I'm Trayvell Anderson.
And I'm Alexis Johnson. And this is What a Day, the show where we're celebrating one of our foremost national holidays.
That is right, everybody. We are, of course, talking about the 20th anniversary of the movie White Chicks.
Ugh, a classic. Sending our best na-na-na-na-na-na to all who celebrate. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. On today's show, SCOTUS inadvertently posts a highly anticipated abortion decision and then takes it down. Plus, Kenya's president rolls back a controversial tax bill after deadly protests in Nairobi.
But first, today is debate night in the United States of America. And 4 years after the last set of debates, we've got the same two still old and still white guys up there. In case you don't remember how it went last time, let me jog your memory.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
Because the question is,
who is on your list, Joe?
Y'all, it was a very, very wild time. And so we've been waiting for it. We've been dreading it. And now the time has come for President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump to debate for their lives. It'll be 90 minutes long, kicking off at 9 p.m. tonight Eastern time. And if you're skipping it, as we know many of you will be, we're going to do our best to take care of you.
Yeah, I can't lie. 9 p.m. is kind of past my bedtime, but give us the 411 and remind us where this is all happening.
Yes, so the debate is happening in Atlanta. It's hosted by CNN. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash are moderating. It's actually the first debate in history between a sitting and former president. So I guess, yay history, perhaps?
Okay, well, I also know a few things have changed about the format. So what's so different about this year?
Well, first off, there will be two commercial breaks. Now, usually there aren't any commercials breaking up the presidential debates, but CNN wants to capitalize on what's expected to be massive viewership. Semaphore reported that one of the top ad packages on the program cost $1.5 million, and you know what? Journalism costs, okay? Get over it, all right? But during these ad breaks, the candidates are not allowed to talk to their staff or get any pep talks. I guess they just have to stand there with their thoughts. Also different this year, there will not be an audience, and their microphones will be muted unless it is their turn to speak. So hopefully we don't have that back and forth like we just heard there.
Good luck with that.
I'm hoping for the best, Alexis, okay? So I wanted to talk to someone who knows firsthand what the process of preparing for a debate looks like. And our good friend of the pod and co-host of Hysteria, Alyssa Mastromonaco, happened to serve as the deputy chief of staff under President Obama. I started by asking Alyssa how, if at all, Biden should be treating this debate differently than the 2020 debates.
Gotta be honest. It has to treat him the same. Deadly fucking serious. Mm. Just because we have some different rules this year and it's 4 years later, he does not need to think about Trump in any sort of a different way. He is still the same person. Nothing has changed. All of his tricks are still up his sleeve. He just needs to take it deadly serious.
Okay, Trump is famously shameless, able to get away with scandals that would end the career of any other normal politician. If you were advising Biden ahead of tonight, what would you tell him in regards to that?
He has got to stay the course, Trayvell. He cannot be derailed. You have to think of Trump as actually the only thing that he's actually successful at, which is the man can produce television. He loves TV moments. He wants to create a moment that they can use for fundraising, where he can say, look at him, he stuttered. Look at him, I set him off. Because don't forget, the last debate, he brought up Hunter Biden to then Vice President Biden. And he will bring up Hunter Biden again.
Absolutely.
He's going to try to throw President Biden off his game. He's going to try and get him emotional. And, you know, when any of us gets emotional, whenever we're defending family, you can get really off the rails. And so I think that he just needs to be steadfast. He has to have blinders on. I hope he's watched a million times over all of the old Trump moments and all of the debates, because it's almost like running a football play with him. You know, like you have to know all the different plays that he could run and guard against them.
Now, you worked as the deputy chief of staff in the Obama administration, so you know what it's like to prep for big nights like these. Take us behind the scenes. How do you think Biden has been preparing over the last few weeks and days? Is it watching these videos? Is it like they did in Scandal? Is he preparing, you know, fake arguments just in case? How's it happening?
Trevo, let me tell you about my foundational debate prep experience. It was with the John Kerry campaign, and I was in charge of going to Neiman Marcus to buy all the ties to try on to see which burned on TV. That was my first segue into debate prep. But in general, I think that if I'm President Biden, I'm spending debate prep making clear, cogent examples of the policy that I have done, the successes I have had. This will be the biggest audience he's probably had in forever. And it is the time to communicate and show contrast. You're working on enunciating, getting your points out. What are the things you have to hit?
And we've got some big format changes this go around. Mics will be muted when they're not supposed to be talking. There's no audience. There's no prepared notes that they can bring with them. Of these changes, which do you think will be kind of the most difficult for the candidates to adapt to?
Oh, it's got to be the mics. It has got to be the mics. I actually went back and watched a couple of older debates, and it is going to be like they have duct tape on their mouths to not be able to respond. And I think that the muzzling effect on Trump may drive him insane. Like, he will be like a caged animal, I think, without his mic on. Also, no studio audience. I'm going to be such a trite bitch right now, but I wonder how boring it's going to be.
I want boring, though.
I want boring, but I also want Americans to watch because I do think we're going to see contrast.
Sure.
But I do think this could feel much slower than other debates we have watched before.
To that point, historically, people tune into debates to get to know the candidates a bit better, right? But we know both of these dudes well enough. Plus, this debate is unusually early in the election process. How much sway do you think this debate could actually have on voters and the trajectory of this election at this point?
I do think it's early, but I love that we're doing it early because historically, the Presidential Commission on Debates, which has hosted these debates in the general election for about 30 years, I think, they are not a part of these. The candidates set up directly with, in this case, CNN, and in September with ABC. This is the part that's hard. Because we know them, I don't think it's as much about someone having a breakout, amazing performance as much as it is if they both do well, it's net neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has much effect at all. If someone gets their clock cleaned, I think it'll matter. If someone performs really poorly, it's going to be on social media. We're going to see it nonstop until the fall. I think that Trump, if he whiffs, you heard it here first. This is my Newswitch prediction. That if Trump gets his clock cleaned, I bet you he announces his vice president really soon because he will want to use it for fundraising and to like wipe away the story.
To deflect, yes.
I feel like in the past couple of weeks, he's been saying, I picked them. You don't know who they are, but I'm going to have them with me at the debate. And he's not saying when he says that, we will know who the person is. What he's saying is he's bringing like a cadre of people because there's always a spin room afterwards where everybody brings their surrogates that among that herd of people, his vice president may be.
That was my conversation with Alyssa Mastromonaco, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff and co-host of Hysteria. On this week's episode of her show, I join her as guest co-host to wrap up Pride.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Month and discuss among.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Among other things, the state of anti-trans legislation. Check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your fabulous podcasts.
Well, thank you for that, Trayvell. We'll get to some headlines in a moment, but if you like our show, make sure you subscribe and share it with your friends. We'll be back after some ads. Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
The Supreme Court accidentally posted a document related to its ruling on Idaho versus the U.S. on its official website on Wednesday. That's the case that will decide whether or not doctors can provide emergency abortions in states that have strict abortion bans. The document was removed shortly after it was posted, but you gotta be quicker than that. Bloomberg News was quick to download it before it disappeared, and it's not clear if the document was just a draft of the Supreme Court's decision or the final decision itself. But according to Bloomberg's report, the justices seem poised to turn the case away. This would technically uphold a lower court's ruling that actually allows Idaho's doctors to provide emergency abortion care. But we won't know what their decision is until it's officially released. A spokeswoman for the high court acknowledged the premature post on Wednesday, saying that the full ruling, quote, has not been released, but also didn't say when it would be released either.
But there were some official opinions released by the U.S. Supreme Court Wednesday. The justices sided with the Biden administration in a case that sought to limit government contact with social media companies. In a 6-3 decision, the court rejected claims from Republican states that the White House was suppressing free speech when it urged companies like Facebook and YouTube to do more to combat disinformation about COVID-19 and the 2020 election. Writing for the majority, Justice Amy Coney Barrett said the states didn't have the right to sue because they failed to prove they were harmed. By dismissing the case, the justices sidestepped thornier questions about the First Amendment and how it applies to social media companies. Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Samuel Alito dissented. And in a separate 6-3 decision, the court's conservative majority further gutted a federal anti-corruption law. They drew an absurd distinction between an illegal bribe to influence an official decision and a gift given after the fact, which the court said was okay. Most surprising of all, Justice Thomas, regular receiver of expensive gifts from politically connected billionaires, did not write that opinion, which basically means we've got more folks we need to be investigating, okay?
Truly. Well, following deadly protests, Kenyan President William Ruto announced that he will withdraw a finance bill that would have raised taxes throughout the country. Demonstrations against the bill this week led to protesters storming and burning parts of the parliament building. The protests have largely been led by young people who argue that they can afford those proposed taxes. They also criticize the lavish lifestyles of Kenyan officials as the country sinks further into debt. Clashes with police grew violent, contributing to the deaths of more than 20 people and prompting a statement from the Kenyan Human Rights Commission condemning the police response. President Ruto addressed the political unrest on Wednesday.
Listening keenly to the people of Kenya, I concede, and therefore I will not sign the 2024 finance bill.
Ruto will send the bill back to Parliament for amendments, but some demonstrators say they will keep marching in hopes of a full repeal and to call for resignations of those who voted for the bill.
Flood warnings are holding steady across the upper Midwest as severe thunderstorms, torrential rain, and heavy winds have battered the region for more than a week now. Tens of millions of people were at risk of the extreme weather earlier this week, with Iowa, South Dakota, and Minnesota all facing the brunt of the devastation so far. At least 20 rivers reached their highest recorded levels after days of heavy rain, forcing residents living near the overflowing rivers to flee their homes. In southern Minnesota, a house toppled into the Blue Earth River, leading to partial failure of a nearby dam. President Biden approved disaster declarations for several counties in Iowa earlier this week, allowing federal funding to get to those affected.
U.S. soccer star Alex Morgan has been left off of the Olympic roster for the women's national team. Emma Hayes, the team's new coach, unveiled her 18-player lineup on Wednesday. Speaking on a call with reporters after the roster's release, Hayes said, quote, "It was a tough decision, especially considering Alex's record and history with this team. I felt I wanted to go in another direction." Morgan has been the face of women's soccer for more than a decade. She was a key player in the national team's Olympic gold medal win in 2012 and its back-to-back World Cup wins in 2015 and 2019. But Hayes has been tasked with overseeing a generational transition for the team, especially after its historically early elimination from last year's Women's World Cup. In a statement posted on X, Morgan said, quote, "I'm disappointed about not having the opportunity to represent our country on the Olympic stage," but added that she looks forward to supporting the team as they head to Paris. Trevelle, I think we're seeing a lot of this changing of the guard in women's sports. I mean, some of these historically famous players, they have to pass the baton at some point.
It is okay for the old heads to step aside and make room for the newbies, okay? And I know folks might not like the fact that Alex Morgan won't be playing, but this just gives great opportunity for some other really talented women soccer players to, like, show us what they can do.
Exactly. And that is ultimately how you grow the sport. And those are our headlines. One more thing before we go. Okay, What a Day Squad, mark your calendars. Today at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Crooked is bringing you a subscriber live chat during the first presidential debate of the year exclusively on the Friends of the Pod Discord. Join a community of Crooked fans and a few staff surprises as we live chat about the showdown between disgraced former President Trump and current President Biden. If that sounds like your ideal night, then first of all, you need to get out more. But second of all, head to crooked.com/friends to learn more and sign up.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, stay dry out there if you're in the upper Midwest, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just missives on the lasting cultural impact of white chicks like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Alexis Johnson.
I'm Trevelle Anderson.
And hold my poodle. What a beautiful chocolate man. I mean, I could quote white chicks all day.
Listen, white chicks has all of the best quotes, okay?
So many good quotes. Oh, you want to talk about mothers.
You want to talk about mothers.
Shout out to the Wayans brothers. Icons, truly.
Icons. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our associate producers are Raven Yamamoto and Natalie Bettendorf. We had production help today from Michelle Aloy, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our showrunner is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.